Whether you operate one forklift or thousands, one location or hundreds, the new My Toyota customer portal can help you optimize your operation and material handling equipment. This one-stop, free-to-use platform is designed to help you take control of your information and make smarter decisions, all at the touch of a button. Register and access your data today at my.toyotaforklift.com. That's my.toyotaforklift.com.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast, bringing you a new episode today. And on today's episode, I'm going to have two guests. I'm going to have Jamie Moriarty and Judd Rosenberg, co-founders of Cold Chain 3PL. And what does Cold Chain 3PL do? Well, I think it's in the name, right? They focus on cold chain third-party logistics. And we're going to talk about how they've put that together, some of the challenges when it comes to cold chain versus ambient, why they've focused on cold chain itself, and some of the great growth that they've had as well, and talk a little bit about just the overall cold space out there and how there's been kind of a shortage of super high demand, and dive into some of those things within the market. So Jamie and Judd, welcome to the show. How are you both?
Welcome.
Yeah, doing well. Thanks for having us.
Definitely happy to get you guys on. Happy to talk about this. I think it's a really interesting space because there's a lot of people that have been in the space for a really long time, right? And it's a challenging space as well. So interested to talk to you guys and hear about your experiences. So I gave my little overview of Cold Chain 3PL, but let's hear from you guys, the co-founders. Give us a little brief overview of Cold Chain 3PL and kind of too, like how did you guys come up with this idea? Where did it come from? How did you come to found this thing?
Yeah, brief overview was I had owned a fresh food company for 16 years that I started from scratch. We made food for places like Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, Starbucks, Costco. We sold the business to a private equity company about 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. Then we sold it to another company years later. Towards the end, we landed a huge meal kit company. And while we were producing the food for them, I could not believe the exponential growth. Mm-hmm. So after we sold the second time, I had known Jamie, you know, he's Olympian, by the way. he's an ex-obsoleter Olympian and played professional football, but great, great guy. I had known him for 10 years. And I was like, hey, we need to get in the business of shipping frozen and refrigerated foods. Mm-hmm. Originally, we started the business about 3-4 years ago. Originally, we were just shipping frozen foods on Amazon, which we still do. We wanted to be like the Zappos of frozen food.
Okay.
And let's chime in here for a second real quick.
Yeah, I think when we originally started, some of the challenges that we found were, you know, that it was very difficult to speak with some of the logistics providers out there in the cold space. You know, Judd tried calling everyone, emailing everyone, return phone calls, you know, large minimums. And I think part of our entrepreneurial spirit also kind of kicked into gear there. And Judd, with his resources, you know, basically turned to me and he was like, we can do this ourselves. We can get the warehouse. You know, we've got someone that has some available space. You know, from his background, he knew how to ship food, you know,
small parcel
food all the time. So we had the know-how. And so we just jumped in ourselves and decided to, you know, to just fill that void ourselves. And then what we found as we started doing that was that some of the, you know, the customers that we were also shipping food for started asking us to do other things. Hey, can you send samples out for us? Or can we connect our store to you so that you can ship our e-commerce rather than just doing your Amazon? Or we also had our own website as well that was a marketplace. So whether or not we could just do that or add in the other e-commerce stores. And it just kind of started growing organically.
Started in a small little warehouse. Mm-hmm. First year, we outgrew that. Then we moved into Chicago, another warehouse in Chicago, close to 80,000 square feet. We've outgrown that. We have another warehouse, frozen warehouse in Chicago for backup. And then we added California, where we have two warehouses, and Maryland, we have a large warehouse where we can handle our national brands. And that's kind of how it evolved. Thanks.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. And definitely great growth there as well with the multiple locations. And I'm curious, like, your thoughts, because you said something interesting in there where, you know, you called around all these other logistics companies, and some of them won't even talk to you or pick up the phone and have minimums and all these things. And I have heard that in a couple different conversations around the cold chain space. Like, it's a very kind of, I don't know if you would say like a closed community in a sense, right? But, you know, kind of some gatekeepers almost, you could say, right? To kind of get in there and very, you know, family run for a long time businesses as well. So I'm curious, as you had that experience and you now you have your own business here that's doing those types of things from a logistics standpoint, how did you kind of take that feedback or challenges, and how have you kind of taking that to do something different with your business?
Okay. So what really sets us apart is, you know, I put my phone number on the website and all my emails, and I answer the phone anytime it rings, whether it's a delivery driver or a brand. Although we do, you know, have dedicated, you know, account reps for our customers, what separates us from looking backwards, we called all these like larger companies. They wouldn't call us back. They wouldn't email us. They had crazy minimums. And in addition, we don't have any, you know, really any minimums, just small monthly fees. And that's what's really separated us. And that's how we've been able to grow so fast, so quickly.
Yeah. Judd always says, you know, we never want to leave that behind. We don't want to become those other companies. So it's really right. A core focus on our side to just continue to provide that, you know, extra level of service and care, you know, understanding that for these companies, it's their whole business, right? And so, you know, we just want to do whatever we can to provide them, you know, the attention they deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's great to continue to maintain that principle, and kind of, I guess, like you guys are saying, like, don't, you know, don't forget where we came from or what we experienced in the past too as well, and make sure like we don't pass that same experience off to our customers or potential customers. So it's great to see that you're keeping that in mind. And I'm curious, you know, as we look at warehousing in general, and when we look at cold chain logistics, you know, talking about frozen, refrigerated versus ambient, dry types of operations. I mean, talk us through some of the challenges there, because I think that in the market, I mean, there's huge demand, and has been huge demand for a couple of years now for cold space, right? But you would think with that demand, like, oh, you know, let's go like whip up some cold space, right? Make it real easy, right? But it's not that easy. So tell us a little bit about kind of some of the challenges there and some of the complexities that are involved with whether it's refrigerated or frozen space.
Yeah, the challenge is, as to your point, there's not a ton of space. And the way we've been able to overcome that is by being entrepreneurial and figuring out where the space is, cutting deals with different landlords, we're buying the space, and having just like, there's, you know, we're going to figure this out attitude. So that's number one. There is space, but you got to think outside the box or outside the freezer, whatever you want to call it. And why don't you add to that as well?
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, just to build on that, it is difficult to build this space. You can't just convert a typical warehouse into a frozen warehouse. You have the different concrete needs to be poured, you know, for a freezer. So it actually does take a long time to construct a building. It's not something that can just be built out of any warehouse. And I think part of that, you know, is what's causing the capacity limitation, is that there's going to be a building lag behind, you know, a growth in that, you know, in the square footage available, just due to kind of the construction side of things. But then, you know, if you move past that, you know, there's obviously challenges to shipping cold. You know, you're dealing in most cases with perishable product.
In addition, this business, it's taken us a few years to figure out, but it's a puzzle. You know, like Jamie said, it is a puzzle. I say it to him all the time. I'm like, oh my God, this is like a really hard SAT question. You know, because you have shipping costs. How do you get the best shipping rates? How do you get it there? How do you get the best rates? And back to complexity, you need to be a real player. You need a few locations, or you need to have relationships Back in my last business, when we made food for Trader Joe's and stuff, we were a great local brand. You know, they loved us in Chicago and the Midwest. But as we started getting relationships in other parts of the country and getting warehouses, we were able to land these national accounts. Mm-hmm. It's no different in this business. You know, where some big brands might not want to put all their eggs in one basket and say, hey, you do my Midwest, you do this one, you do that one. But a lot of them kind of want to just call the owner and be like, figure it out. You know, so that's by figuring out that puzzle, we can go up against the biggest of the biggest companies in the space and usually win the business. I mean, hopefully win the business because of all the other things that we offer.
Yeah, very interesting. And I think there are a lot of different pieces to the puzzle there, as you said. And, you know, certainly challenges around that in infrastructure and building needs to be a certain way. And then the equipment to be able to maintain those temperatures. I'm curious from the perspective of, you know, because we see more and more e-commerce distribution as well, right? And you touched on meal kits earlier as well. But when we look at those types of things, I mean, it's one thing, I guess, to, you know, take a pallet of product and deliver it to a store on a reefer truck, something like that. But to be able to deliver on customer expectations when you're shipping directly to them is another thing. And there's added layers of complexity there. From a cold perspective, I mean, tell us a little bit about those kind of additional complexities around e-commerce fulfillment and how are you guys kind of addressing some of those and how are you working around some of those challenges?
We'll be back after a quick break.
You hear a lot about supply chains these days, because if the past couple years have taught us anything, it's that an efficient, well-managed supply chain is absolutely critical to keeping businesses successful and consumers happy. I'm Will Haywood, and I host a podcast called All Business, No Boundaries, where we talk about supply chains, how they work, what happens when they don't, and the innovations that are redefining what's possible in the world of logistics. Join me for insightful interviews with thought leaders and industry experts. We discuss how optimizing supply chains can break down the barriers that are holding businesses back. That's All Business, No Boundaries by DHL Supply Chain. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Number one, I believe, is kind of the recipe card that we build for a customer where, you know, depending on what state it's going to, you know, it's either usually a 1, 2, or 3 day ship, and building the coolant that goes with it, along with if it's summer, do we want to add a little bit more? So you sign up with us, we're going to build you a recipe. Again, we're shipping, you know, 20,000-30,000 boxes a week. We've been doing this for a few years. You know, we pretty much know what happens and what days to ship. You know, like, you kind of want to ship on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. You really don't want to go over the weekend. Most customers want, you know, bigger brand, 2 days or less, you know, anywhere ground, so they don't have to air shipments. So it's all these like little complexities, but our attitude is we try to keep it really simple, right? When we talk to customers, we're like, listen, we're going to take this complicated problem and just trust us. And here's your recipe card. Here's your material. Here's your labor. And here's your shipping, you know, this is out the door. You're at X, you know, the only other fees that we have is minimal storage and handling. Again, we have big expenses with our warehouses. So we charge, you know, to put the product away and put it in the freezer or the cooler. So we try to keep it just really, really simple, taking our, you know, many years of experience and saying, here's your price. And they're like, what? Oh my God, this was so easy. That's what we try to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You know, one other thing that's kind of interesting too is our main production guys who, you know, are involved in that initial build of the what we call a recipe, you know, are trained chefs. So, you know, being that we ship a lot of food, fresh and frozen food, ambient food, they actually have a lot of knowledge that comes into play in that, just because they're very familiar with food and how it can be stored and how it can slack out and all the different complexities to the food. So I know it's not, you know, maybe a competitive advantage. It's not necessarily something that is necessary, but something that I lean on a lot, you know, and I'm sure Judd does as well when we're talking to clients, and Judd having his food background as well. There's a little bit of a different perspective because of that background knowledge.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And I think bringing that knowledge to the table is certainly a great factor in what you're doing there. And I think being able to kind of maybe educate your customers as well on what's the right way to go about that. I mean, I'm curious in that aspect. I mean, you know, you mentioned that you only want to ship on certain days and obviously, you know, how you're packing and shipping those e-commerce packages, whatever you're putting in there to maintain that temperature is going to only last for a certain amount of time, right? So if you have a brand coming to you and they want to do e-commerce and they need a product that needs to stay at a certain temperature, how do you kind of advise them to navigate that and how can they, you know what type of, I guess, shipping levels they can offer to their consumers? Because I think, Judd, you mentioned there something about, you know, they want 2-day shipping, but, you know, can you really pull off 2-day shipping? Yeah. Or do you have to have your inventory kind of positioned in strategic locations throughout the country?
A couple things that, you know, a lot of our customers that we have now, they just want to ship everything ground. Mm. And kind of the magic number there is 3 days or less. So that's how you can save. That's just working in our business model right now. But for some larger accounts, they want 2 days or less. And one example is ice cream. Let's say somebody comes to us and wants to ship ice cream. Now, in ice cream, you can't mess around with ice cream. Ice cream, you can't go, our experience, you can't go longer than 2 days, right? Mm. And you got to put 5 pounds of dry ice per day and all the other tricks that we have to get in the box to keep the air out, right? And we won't take on an ice cream client unless it's 2 days or less, because if it goes 3 days, 4 days, and melts a little bit, you know, obviously that shipment is wrong. What else?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's a few different types of conversations that we have in the discovery phase. One is, you know, and a lot of, and what we like to say too is whatever agreement we come to, it does involve the customer's input in that. It's obviously their product, they know it best, and we want them to be comfortable with however we're packing. So if there's an agreement we come to originally and something they want to adjust moving forward because of circumstances changing, it's always, you know, that's you know, whatever they want to do, it's their instructions to us, right? But usually the conversation is either we've been doing this for a while, we know how to do it, and we this is what we do per day, and then we just recreate that. Those are really easy to do. But if it is a customer that isn't familiar really with how to ship, you know, direct to consumer e-commerce type of a store, you know, that discovery call is you know, going to dive into what types of products do you have, you know, how are you storing that product, what's the packaging look like. I think, interestingly enough, depending on their package too, you know, is it hard plastic that dries can make really fragile? There's these other little details that could come into, you know, into that conversation just from teasing it out. And we really have to understand all of that. Sometimes get samples of products for us to really understand what we're packing. But with all that being said, like Judd said earlier, we do try to make it easier, and we do try to
small, a medium, a large box. We'll send you sample packs. We'll get on a Zoom when we start, you know, make you feel comfortable.
Use different material for insulation.
We use
green material, styrofoam. You know, we've got different types of insulation. We use gel packs, dry ice. So there's a few different coolants that can be used. Mm. But that's definitely, you know, more of the detail-oriented part of the process. Mm.
Very interesting. And it's good to have that flexibility as well, I think, for the customer and the client to be able to make sure you're maintaining the integrity. Because I think, like Judd said there, I mean, ice cream, you know, if it melts a little bit, then, you know, it is definitely detrimental. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's really important to be able to have that flexibility and be able to, you know, provide those options, and that knowledge too, I think, is such a key to the client to be able to do that. So I'm curious, from an operational perspective, I mean, as you guys have been growing, and, you know, obviously we talked about, you know, there's high demand, right, for refrigerated frozen space, and to be able to do fulfillment in that type of environment as well. What type of technologies are you guys utilizing or looking at as you continue to grow, and what's really going to help you to bring more efficiency to the operation?
Yeah, you know, I think another competitive advantage that we have is we are really flexible with our technology, you know. So in most cases, Shopify is, you know, on the customer facing side, Shopify is going to be the biggest player for e-commerce as far as a shopping platform. So that's really most of our integration is going to be with Shopify via API connectivity. Mm-hmm. You know, Amazon is obviously another big one. Those are really the two biggest, although you have a various, you know, other e-commerce platforms like WooCommerce or Square Space or, you know, a bunch of other ones. And what we do internally is, you know, just allow for a few different ways for us to receive data, right? It could be simple connections through ShipStation, which is, you know, a platform that is kind of like Shopify, but for shipping, right? It's a very common platform, very easy to do those connections. We have a WMS, a warehouse management system, that allows us to do dashboards for our customers to report real-time inventory. And, you know, it's pretty robust, where it will allow even the customer to change orders, to update addresses, you know, so there's a lot that can be done. Having dashboard access within your orders that are live in the system. And usually with those two, you know, you're covering, if you're doing EDI, you know, if you have to receive based on EDI, or if it's through API, through a shopping cart platform, we're able to capture orders. But, you know, moving aside from those, you know, another area that we really stress to our customers is you sometimes might have orders that don't go through a shopping cart, you know, right. And so we also have a process for us to receive just DSV or Excel files of orders. You know, it might be really high VIP orders going to you, right? You're going to be doing a podcast on someone, right? And they want to send their product to you, right? So these orders that aren't going through stores, we're still able to capture that, you know, just with Excel or CSV files.
Interesting. Yeah. And I love that. I think throughout everything, you guys have made yourselves very flexible to deal with everything, right? I mean, even from the tech side. And I'm curious, like internally in the operation, like in the warehouse itself, I mean, are you looking at any technology from like a material handling standpoint? I mean, how do you guys feel about like automation, robotics potentially coming into the mix at some point?
You know, not as much at this point. I mean, when you're dealing with, you know, large boxes of like frozen food and up to 40, 50 pounds or small pounds, there's a lot of touch. You know, again, we come from the food business where we do have, you know, conveyor belts, and we have lines set up for each program, for each account. And we also do scan to verify to make sure that we don't, you know, make any mispicks. So as far as like robotics, I don't think that's really going to happen in this world. Mm. A lot of our customers have a lot of SKUs. I mean, they could have anywhere from 20 to 400 SKUs.
Yeah.
So we don't mind that. Actually, if it's really complex with a lot of SKUs, we're cool with it. We are going to charge a little bit for our labor, you know, to organize that. But where our competitors, you know, will only take like 5 SKUs, 10 SKUs. I mean, we have grocery stores that we work with, you know, online grocery stores that have like 500 SKUs or 300 SKUs. So our pitch to them is like, we will do this for you, but like when you send me 5 pallets worth of Prada, right? And all of a sudden it's going to take me multiple hours to put it away and organize it, we'll just charge for those hours. But then they can have their us as a warehouse.
Mm. All right. Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I was curious about that, 'cause I know when it comes to like automation, robotics, I think there's a lot of challenges, especially having some of those mechanical operations within a cold environment too, as well, and kind of longevity there. So I was curious to hear if you guys have been looking into any of that at all. So very interesting stuff with you guys here. And I'm curious, as we close out here, as you've been growing this now for a couple of years and expanding into multiple locations, for maybe other 3PLs that are listening or looking for potential tips, what would be like your top tip for a 3PL that out there that's trying to grow?
I mean, my top tip is just like what I had in my food company, is just be relentless. You know, don't take no for an answer. Figure it out. I mean, we're grinding every day. Mm. I mean, Jamie and I still grind, and we've done this before, but having fun doing it. What's your tip, James?
And my tip?
Tip of the day from the Olympian.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I would say my tip would be kind of going back to our core, which is, you know, again, don't lose sight of where you started from, right? And I do think, you know, for me, the value that we provide our customers is so important to our success, that if you want to be successful, just don't forget about the little guys. You know, what I see a lot of time too is these little accounts, You know, Judd and I will look at an analysis of a new account, you know, over the course of a few years, growing from a tiny little thing into a big company. You want to talk about growth potential in the space. A lot of that is because these e-commerce stores are starting out as nothings and become something big. You know, so if you stick with them and you don't lose sight of that, or you're willing to invest in a smaller company to help them solve this huge aspect to their business, you could see a lot of growth potential from them just by supporting them early.
Yeah, definitely great tips there. And I think that's a really good one there too at the end. I mean, you never know what's going to explode, right? So you definitely want to give the little guys a chance too as well. And hopefully they'll be able to grow as you grow, right? Because I mean, eventually in the 3PL world, I mean, if your client's growing, that means you're potentially growing, right? So you're only as good as the number of boxes you can get out the door, right? So, and they got to be available to ship. So really great to talk to you guys, Jamie and Judd here, and great to meet you and learn all about the cold chain 3PL that you guys have built, and we'll be continuing to watch to see how you further grow as well and create great experiences for your customers. So I really appreciate you guys coming on the show.
Thank you.
If people are interested in learning more about cold chain 3PL, what's the best way to do that?
Just call me, go on our website. My phone number's on there, coldchain3pl.com. Shoot me an email, text. I answer the phone pretty much every time. Just reach out. We can get you pricing. We can help you, whatever.
All right, perfect. And we'll definitely put all that information at thenewwarehouse.com as well so people can easily find it. So Jamie and Judd, thank you once again for your time on the show today.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more content from the New Warehouse, check out our new video series called All Hands on LinkedIn. Just search for the New Warehouse on LinkedIn and follow along.